The secret to being a YouTuber, right? But also, we couldn't have been more wrong about this one thing that we're talking about today.
Ned, no!
Dada!
Revealing company secrets. Talking about YouTube very quick. First off, I have to address something. An elephant in the room for only the video watchers, but I am now the laptop user for this episode. Nano what? Gracefully gave me over the reins for this one.
Now, Donald, granted, that's not a laptop. That's a...
Oh, it's a MacBook.
That's a MacBook.
I know, because I'm scrolling with two fingers here. It's
That's how that works on a normal laptop too, by the way.
Oh,
it just feels way better on a... No, at least for me, no laptop has ever gotten it down as good as a MacBook. I've never done anything like this.
I'm zooming around.
I'm not typically, and I used to be like, ugh, you know, and now I'm kind of just in the Apple ecosystem, but I am not much of an Apple glazer, but I'll be damned. Like, I ain't got, what are those called? I can't think of what it's called.
Apple Vision Pro.
Yeah, I ain't got none of those or nothing like that.
Now,
who's still using those, by the way?
I have to call out
for
the
audience. Who's still using those?
The audio listeners, I do have to call out that I got that from Nano putting his fingers together on his eyes to make a mask. And that's what I was able to put that together from.
Who is still, like, if you're a person that bought those, granted, you're probably not going to tell me that you're actually not using them. But are you still using them?
Do you think that, I mean, I would probably use them to watch movies. Do you think... Would you walk around in public with those?
No.
I feel like I would
people
be
too... People had been doing that for bits, not for real.
I feel like I'd be too nervous to do that, because I feel like that's the same as walking around with a neon sign that says, rob me, yes. Please somebody
those
rob
things,
me.
What are those things, like $3,000? $3,500?
They're expensive. But even if they weren't, even if they were just $300, I feel like it's like, hey, everybody, rob me.
Yeah, I'm not, and again, I've actually bought some of those glasses. Have you ever seen the glasses? The
Google Glass?
No. They sit on your face and they have a screen, and they give you like a 120-inch screen in front of your face.
What in the cyberpunk shit is this? No,
I tried them. I didn't like them. They're very disorienting. But it may have just been like...
Most technologically savvy glasses I've ever gotten were a pair of sunglasses that if you double tap the side, they take a video or a picture.
Oh, okay.
But they sounded like cool and like spy and like James Bond. But what they don't advertise is that obviously... I guess it's like a privacy thing, but they have a giant flashing sign that shows when you're taking a video.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, so it's not like, I guess they don't want people being creeps.
I respect that, yeah.
They don't want people being creeps, but I feel like it ruins the vibe. Like if I'm at a party, I'm like, the vibe's great. Let me capture the moment. Gee! I'm just flashbanging everybody in the audience, and then everybody looks at me and like, the video that you capture
Bro, killed the vibes.
The video you capture is never a natural part of the moment. It's literally just like everybody like looking at you, like, what are you doing? It's like, oh, I'm recording you guys, but stealthy. The only bad thing
you really haven't heard of these though that I'm talking about.
I have no idea. Like, no, I have no.
You
idea
put them on, and it's kind of like the Vision Pro.
Other than Google,
but it's cheaper.
Quick question: have you ever seen the Google Glass? I guess it's not a commercial for Google Glass, but maybe like a parody where a woman wears them and goes about her day, and then you know where I'm going with this, or am I gonna have to finish this? She goes about her day and shops, and then her abusive boyfriend comes home and beats her. And it's all on Google. Have you never seen this commercial? I promise you, if you look up Google Glass domestic violence, there is it's framed as a commercial. It's like Google Glass. It's like an anti-domestic violence infomercial, but informative video. But yeah, that's pretty much what it is. He's looking it up right now as we speak. It is a real thing. I can promise that. It's a very long video though. And me.
A woman's day. Hashtag through glass.
Yes. Okay. So admittedly, it's supposed to be the shocking twist at the end of the video, and I did spoil it. But I will say, if you watch it without context, it plays out like a comedy skit, because it's like so jarring and it's so in your face. He's watching it now. I'm telling you, it's jarring. That's Google Glass. So you haven't seen that.
No, I've never. I can't believe this is real.
I don't know where I saw that before, but it's pretty popular. How many views does it have?
3.7 million views from 10 years ago.
It was a pretty viral video 10 years ago.
And it had a hashtag through glass.
I can't believe Google Glass is that old. 10 years
ago. They killed it, right? It's not even a thing anymore.
It's a thing yet. No.
Yeah, pretty much the things I'm talking about, the only thing that they do is they're on your face. They look like sunglasses, but they actually have a screen on the inside. Well, and it's about it's a roughly 120-inch screen in front of your face. I watched JJK with them.
Oh, yeah. Wait. I think I do know. But they're not. Are they all screen?
No, you can.
I think I have seen these, but it's like they're not really glasses so much as they're kind of like semi goggles. Like you put them on, it cuts off and then it projects a screen. You can play on them.
Yes.
Okay. No, now that we've communicated a little bit more now, I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I do think those. They could be cool for something like on an airplane because then like.
Yes.
The thing is, you can like lean back with them
or like laying in bed.
I could be looking. Yeah. Or in bed. I could be looking like this way. But really. And it's like it looks like I'm just like sleeping or something. But actually, I'm
can
like,
I be honest? I feel like
watching something. It was disorienting for me. But it could, I have a major eye problem.
Yeah. You've gone on record saying your eye is like what's your most people are like 20/20. You have like 6/19.
I'm negative. I'm pretty much if you include the astigmatism, I'm like a -9 and -10 in my eyes.
I feel like negatives are bad. Are negatives bad?
Well, negative is just the you have to. That's to get you back to 20/20 vision. You're basically fixing the negative.
Okay.
Yes. Negative so is not, super
nine
bad.
Nine off,
yes.
10 off.
Yes.
Okay.
It's also like I think negative is because you can be farsighted or nearsighted.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can't see far away, so I think the negative also maybe I don't know. I'm not an optometrist, so I don't know, but. I have worn contacts since I was 8, so
that's pretty early on. Did you have any memory? I think we talked about this. Do you have any memories from before you had contacts and stuff like that, or no? Have you always known you needed glasses?
I have memories of needing glasses because I was in second grade, so I was a 7-year-old. So yeah, I've got memories of that. Yeah,
okay. What I see, I'm always just curious of like what the world like, what that first moment is. You're like, oh, I didn't know the world was supposed to look like this. This is like way.
It was pretty fast. Like it went from I could see to like just couldn't see. It was fairly quick.
Oh, wait, it dropped off?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's weird.
Like, I used to be able to see, and then I couldn't. Wow. Like in all of first grade, I could see.
Got that's to second crazy. Grade,
couldn't see the board anymore.
That's crazy. I didn't know it was a drop-off.
Yeah.
That makes it way more, like, sad. And then, like, the other way around, it's like, oh, this is what the world looked like. That's cool.
It's like, no, I got 6 years of my life.
Yours, you got a free trial. And then it was like, nah, you.
Because at 7, I got glasses, and then at 8, I got contacts because I played sports and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They did advise my mom against not having me get contacts because I was so young, like an eight-year-old with putting in contacts. But the cool thing was I got 6-month contacts. I don't know if you know much about contacts, but people, you have dailies, weeklies, monthlies. And I got they lasted for 6 months. I had to change my contacts.
That's pretty good.
Basically twice a year.
Is there a downside to not switching contacts?
Yes, bacteria.
Okay.
But also, like, even not even bacteria, contacts are, because they're...
flimsy.
They're flimsy. So, like, as you use them over time, they degrade. And, like, you can... There's a fuzziness to them. They're not as comfortable in your eye. Like, even us talking about this is really calling this out. I'm probably going to put new contacts in, actually. Like... tomorrow.
I'm going to be completely honest. I, as a grown man, I still feel like if push came to shove, I don't know if I'd be able to put contacts in. I feel like I'd be too scared.
I mean, I guess I'm someone who's had to touch my eye since I was 8 years old. So this is just
I don't know if I could do it if I was just like.
Yeah, I don't even think about it anymore.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That could not be me. Granted, I think I'd prefer not to be able to see than to watch these couple episodes we watched today.
You know, are we going to talk about YouTube?
Oh yeah, I completely forgot we did that. What would you want to talk about?
Not so much there's no secret to YouTube. Most of YouTube is just literally putting in work. I mean, I guess the secret, which you could find many many different places, is literally high click through rate. So just basically when someone sees your thumbnail and they click on it,
mm-hmm.
mixed with high actual average watch time means you actually what you told them the video was going to be, it actually was, right? Then that typically people will stay longer if they click on something thinking that's what they were getting. But is there anything that, like, you think is important to know to be a YouTuber?
Other than donating to the secret society?
Other than that,
okay,
yes.
Yeah. So that one obviously comes out.
Do we have to
out.
Cut that? Are we supposed to?
No, I think they're... With the way the world is right now, I think it's, like power is coming and change is inevitable. So I think they're okay with it being known.
Okay.
But, so we don't have to cut it out, but maybe just don't talk about it too much. But other than that, I feel like, there's no, like... secret other than I feel like consistency is key. Consistency and collabs. I know it's pretty like cliche. Collaborating is like actually OP.
It is, but not if you're listening to this and you're like 100 sub channel or 1,000 sub channel and you're like, yeah, but I want to collab with Dada Doya or Nanogenics or Rhyme Style or whoever. realistically, you should be collabing with someone that is in your 1,000 to like 10,000 sub range. I don't think it's actually like, don't get me wrong. Is it really harmful to do it with someone that's like,
no,
but like, I think it's smarter to do it with someone closer to your size. And I also think it's important to have friend groups that do YouTube to talk about, to be able to talk about stuff, push each other, all of that. Like, I think that's also,
since we're talking important about it now, this is a multifaceted issue that is actually kind of interesting to talk about, because while people call it networking, and while networking is important, it can come off as cold, which if it comes off as cold, ironically, you're doing it bad, and it's bad networking. You can do it cold and do it good, but usually the best bet is to actually just genuinely try to make friends with people and accept the hard truth that the best way to collaborate, obviously... Sorry, this is the computer.
That's what happened to be the reaction of the day.
The computer's telling me this.
That's what happened to
Intel Power.
I thought it was the computer talking to Bulba the other day, one of our reactions, which you can watch our reactions by becoming a key member. Clicking the join button here on YouTube or just going over to patreon.com/keymoments. And guess what? When you do that, you're going to get all of this bonus content.
Hey, how's it going, Patreon? You guys want to watch some bonus content?
Anyways, we're playing this Dragon Ball game, which is...
Today we're going over most of my Dragon Ball collection.
Me and Nana were really involved in a hit and run.
Yes, that's the other crazy thing about this. The Sonic DLC in Sparking Zero sounded crazy.
That was weird, right? Like, I know there's crossover, but...
Whoa, that was a crazy integration. I don't even know what happened. I feel like I was muting the tab and then something happened. My eyes glazed over and then we were back. Anyway, what I was talking about with the YouTube is that while, yes, if you get a chance to collaborate with a bigger channel and you can provide, something of value to that, I think that's definitely obviously better. Like if Mr. Beast approached me and said, want to be in a video? And I was like... You're too far out, man. Like, I wouldn't get anything. You're like way too... Like, no, that's not true. But the hard truth is, and I think a truth you need to accept, and that'll make the journey easier, is you have to accept that you have to be able to provide something to another person. It doesn't have to be views-wise.
No.
But you have to be able to provide something to another person. So if I take the niceness out of it, like Rhyme Style is legitimately...
Yeah.
Not to put on what... Rhyme Style is legitimately the...
Let's not glaze him too hard, but like at the same time, like
this isn't even glaze. This is just facts. Rhyme Style is what people wish YouTubers were like. You could be pretty much Joe Schmo off the sidewalk and message Rhyme about like, hey, do you want to play a Dragon Ball game? And like, he'll like, no matter who, he'll read it and consider it. And that is like above and beyond what you could expect from most people. And oftentimes he'll just say like, sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Sure.
He also is like incredibly helpful to me, like starting out. Like,
yes.
He's just. Also, Rhyme is like the best. I'm not very great at responding to messages. I think most people are. I think it's just an over like stimulation of just too many messages platform. Like, cause you can get messaged on literally everywhere anymore. But Rhyme is still like has such a standard of replying to messages so fast.
Yes. He messaged, honestly, text
him right now and he would text back immediately.
We could both text him and he would reply immediately to both of us. I think his problem is he replies to every single message. He messages probably.
I don't know how he does it in not overload. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. But so in that regard, he's very nice. So what I felt like I brought to the table when like Rhyme was doing that is like more of a knowledge of fighters at the time. So Fighters was a unique Dragon Ball game, more of a fighting game. So you need more of that spin with somebody that maybe like got Dragon Ball in general, but also got the fighting game aspect. And then also other stuff. Like I tried to like pitch different ways to play fighters, like the raid stuff. I was like, we could do this. Like this could be pretty funny. Still at the end of the day, it was raw luck that he invited like Dion. Cause I legitimately, like, again, this is the Rhyme buff. This should not have worked. I should have had something lined up, but I was like, think about this, right? Like Rhyme is a bigger channel. I'm a smaller channel.
Mm-hmm.
I came to him and said, hey, I got this idea for like this raid video. If you want to come do it with me on my channel, that's also another thing is you can make it more about your channel than like coming on and going on their shit. That feels more like invasive.
I think that's also super important too.
Yes, right? It's more about like,
would love to have you on my channel. Like,
yeah, not feeling invasive, not like pushing them,
not expecting you to be in a video on their channel. I think is also
this stuff is not. I do want to. I do.
None of this is black and white. This is also everything can be.
I also want to say that this isn't necessarily stuff that I thought of in my head.
Like, I think it's also important to just be a naturally nice person and want to do it for the right reasons. Like,
yes.
I was like, yeah, come on. Let's, like, I had done a raid video with just people on Twitter before. And I was like, hey, do you want to come do it now? Because there was a new raid out. Ironically, my first raid video fucking bombed on the channel. Like, it did not end up doing good because I thumbnailed it and titled it poorly. But, I mean, the area...
I did just talk about.
Yes. So the area I did good was I invited him to my channel. It was something fun. It was something like... casual, like quick, like, hey, let's just do this. But the stuff I did bad, and this was rhyme buff that carried over, is I was literally like, we need a third person, and I don't know who you want, so you figure that out. I legit was like, if you know a guy, I guess maybe I could find one, but just we could just get a random. He was like, I got a guy. So that's how that happened. So I was 50% accurate there. But then other stuff like that, just just provide other stuff. So like an example for me, and I know you work with Iron Kane a lot more. Iron Kane does Breakers stuff, but if I want to record Breakers, Iron Kane is super knowledgeable about Breakers.
Yep.
He has a community of people that play a lot of Breakers.
Yeah.
And so it's natural to me, like, just because he doesn't maybe have a million subscribers, I'm still like, yo, Iron, get on, let's play some Breakers. Because it's just a natural extension. And also, I've talked to Iron Kane, and we're similar. It's natural, and it's not like force. It can't be like force. So I think that's the biggest black pill, though. You need to accept that collaborating is important. And it can be done extremely corny, or you can just do it extremely non-corny. Either can work, technically.
Yes.
Because you know you've seen some corny motherfuckers out here, man.
I think it is important to mention this, too, because I think there's a lot of people that go into this and think, like, I'm going to build my channel by myself, and I don't need anyone else. And, like, and they keep that mentality for a really long time. And I think collaboration is super important. But just to expand on what I was saying, because now you're taking it from the other angle of, like, being a smaller channel and approaching a larger channel. But I just think, just to make sure that what I said, because I'm not coming off that I wouldn't collaborate with a smaller channel, because I collaborate with Iron Can. I literally collaborated with Diddy when he had, like, 500 subs. The thing that Diddy brought to me is, first off, we had hung out a ton while he was doing a subathon, and, like, our personalities meshed well, which I think is also really important.
Yeah, it's just being friends, really, is a big part of it.
Yeah, our personalities meshed well, especially on camera. And he brought I'd done some randomizer stuff with Dino back in the day, rhyme style, but like I hadn't done that in years. And he kind of brought that back, and that was sort of like his thing to bring to the table. But I think the thing of keeping like within your same size that is important is that I think a lot of people in their heads, they think like, oh man, if I collaborate with Dada Doya and I get a Sparking Zero video with Dada Doya, it's going to put me on the map and I'm going to gain like thousands of subs. But realistically speaking, what could potentially happen is that your one Dada Doya vid blows up, and then all those people that came and watched that one Dada Doya vid because Dada was in your video do not come back for the next 10 videos because Dada Doya isn't in the next 10 videos, which is something that could happen.
Yes. I think another part is also like this is playing right into what you're saying. Also, sometimes you need to know, like, yes, everybody, like, you want your big shot to come like right away, obviously, with stuff like YouTube.
Yeah. Instant gratification. We live in a world
where everybody wants instant gratification, like, in everything. That's just natural. That's human nature. But also think about the fact that it might be better to play a little bit of the longer game, because you do not want your video to do well that is ass. You don't want.
There's also that too.
It's honestly better to not get an impression until it's a decent first impression. The hard part about that is your videos are always going to suck in hindsight. But like,
yeah, if you're, as long as you're pushing yourself, like I could absolutely watch a video from like even 6 months ago and I would go, why did I do that?
Like, yeah, no, it's like, it's always going, like, to suck in hindsight, but there is a certain quality threshold. Yeah, like some people are like,
yeah,
some people are like, and it's clear for me to see, I don't know if it's because I've been doing YouTube for a while, so I kind of get the gist of, like, it's not always like a science. Sometimes there's levels, like sometimes people have different levels, like the thumbnail and title are perfect, but the video quality, and I mean that like literal video quality, mm-hmm, like bitrate and shit, isn't there, or the recording process or the audio. And sometimes it's the other way around. Like the video is fine, but the thumbnail is like ugly and it's like character borders that don't really match and there's text all over. And so sometimes it's about like skill wise, like the mechanics are not quite there yet. It's like, it's kind of like rank League of Legends. Like you want your mechanics to be solid so that when you get a good team, a good opportunity, you're not the one that fucks it up, kind of. Cause I've seen a lot of people like, yo, like put me on, like retweet me, I'm ready. And I'll like check it out. I'm like, and like a lot, like I think I've DM'd people back. I'm like, no, this channel, like some guy asked me, and I'm saying some guy because I don't want to put him on blast, but he was like, should I, he was another content creator. He's like, should I do Dragon Ball stuff? And I was like, oh, let me look at this. And I was like, yeah, that's good. You could do Dragon Ball stuff like that. That's pretty good. And I was like, that's good. But also if I would have watched it, I would have been like realistic if I thought like the thumbnail was bad or something, or the quality wasn't up to snuff. But also I do want to, I think the last thing I have to say about it is the RNG factor. Like you can, my personal pet peeve with YouTube is when people give up and say it's just not possible, when literally anything is possible. Bad audio, we say is bad. There are tons of people with bad audio that their bad audio is iconic and a part of the bit.
Yep.
You could say bad video quality or bad thumbnails. Penguin Zero Critical, literally no thumbnails. It does not matter. He has, and he's always done that. It's always been auto-generated.
Yep.
Perfectly fine. It's a part of the bit. It's part of the shtick. You know, stuff like that. It literally does that. People say animation is dead. Animation's dead on YouTube. Can't do animation. Meat Canyon came out, did animation. Perfectly fine. I'm not saying he does that all the time now, but he transitioned and did that, blew up, and then transitioned into doing something else that he likes.
He's more of like a commentary channel now, like his other channel.
Or like even like art. Like you can't
do
art.
But to expand on that, he did bring back animation.
He did.
And made animation.
Like, absolutely.
Huge.
Like he could have kept doing animation.
And I'm not saying he's the only person that did it, but yeah, I mean, yeah, you heard that. There's so many things where it'd be like, this thing doesn't work anymore. Or like Sam Sulek last year.
Yeah.
Like blowing up, or was that this year? Is this year been that long? Either way, like him coming up and doing non-edited videos, they're like 50 minutes long. The thumbnails are like, gotta be probably one he selected of the three in the thing. And he just blew up because people were craving like authenticity and just not super fast beast edited style content. And
yes, it literally, you can follow all the rules in the rule book. That will not make you successful. You can break every rules and that might make you successful. It's literally just about doing what you actually want. I think the best key is to do what you actually like. And that way, like,
because if you do this long enough, it will eventually show that you don't like the thing.
Or it'll just like it'll burn you out.
Maybe some of you guys listen to this podcast and you're like, how the hell did you guys not know about Fagnamic? I promise you, I'm like a massive Dragon Ball fan. I literally am that nerd that just talks. You might be like, but then how the fuck did you not know about Fagnamic? Listen, maybe I missed a few episodes of my childhood, okay? That doesn't mean I don't still think Goku and Vegeta are badass, okay?
I mean, I agree, dude.
I
chose to block Fagnamic out. I didn't believe in shit like this. And now it's come to
haunt me. I've never seen this. I want to say, I guess the last thing I'll mention on this, which you kind of did touch on, is just that like it is important to do your due diligence, to put in, I think it's super important. People do want the instant gratification, but it is really, really important to just keep making videos, especially if you're passionate about it. Because I think the other thing too, you know, so many people are like, oh, all the money and all of that, which by the way, the money's kind of down right now on YouTube. At least mine is comparatively. I'd be comparing some watch time to a previous and it ain't quite what it used to be. But there's some world events going on. So maybe that's what it is. But I think it's important just to be passionate about whatever it is that you're doing. And if it doesn't work for the first 10 times, maybe it won't work the first 100 times. It might take you like 500 videos before you pop off. But as long as you're like enjoying it, and you're probably going to learn something along the way on like every video you make, as long as you're actually having fun with it, then it's worth doing.
Yeah. And I think the hard truth is like other people will tell you other things. I personally wouldn't look at it as like a day job starting out, you know?
No.
Like, I didn't go into it like.
No. I'm not saying you can't still listen to what people are saying and try some different things and treat it a little bit like a, like
you could know that. Yeah, that's fun. If you want to do that, I think that's awesome.
Yeah, no, it just pushes a little bit, but like, I don't think you should go into it like, okay, going to set up a LLC day one. I'm going to assign this, do this. We're going to have a meeting here. Like, no, bro, just sit down, record your damn video.
Yeah.
Edit it, thumbnail it, post it. And
it's also like a risk tolerance thing. Like it's pretty high risk to do that play. So I'd rather have a job and do it at the same time. Cause I think it's like,
yeah,
another part of doing, like if you're doing it as a hobby with the stuff you like, you always had time for it because you're doing the stuff you like. So it's not like you're burning yourself out. You're just also doing the stuff you like in a different way.
Oh, one other thing. Super important.
What's this?
Not every video can bang.
Yeah, no.
Not even when you're established, bro. I am currently, so if you're not familiar with YouTube, this is probably the last thing we mentioned on the we might come back to this in a future episode, but when you post a YouTube video You can go to your dashboard and it will compare your recent, your most recent video to your previous 9 videos, right? So you have a list of your 1 through 10. 1 out of 10, that means it's your best performing video of your last 10 videos. 10 out of 10 means it's your worst performing video of your last 10 videos. And as of today, as of filming this video that I'm telling you guys about, I'm currently having what is called a 10 out of 10 day. A very hard 10 out of 10 day, by the way. The next one up is thousands of views difference. And even to, if I would, even to get to a 5 out of 10, would take almost 20,000 more views to get to that 5 out of 10, because it's comparing it at that exact time frame. Like right now, this is telling me first 7 hours and 25 minutes of this video's performance, it is currently far, far, far behind all my other videos. And so sometimes you just don't post bangers. And sometimes you do post bangers. We just talked about this with your Yu-Gi-Oh! Content. Sometimes, yeah, it's
sometimes
not,
it takes
it's not,
a while.
Sometimes it takes a minute. Because like, if the video is good and it has an audience, there's an audience that is itching for that content, presumably, if your thumbnail, your title is good, it will eventually find said audience. It will. But also the other thing too is when you're making content over certain like niches, which I think is important to find like a niche that you enjoy, like to latch onto something so you have like search optimization, yeah, stuff like that. It also is important to note that like there's only so many people watching that thing.
Yeah.
Like when you make a video over NBA, guess what? There's only so many people there that watch NBA. It's a lot of people, but there is still a ceiling somewhere that you're going to hit. When you make a video over Dragon Ball, there's only so many people that are interested in Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Then when you get into Dragon Ball, if you're making Dragon Ball Z gaming content, there's only so many of the Dragon Ball fandom that is interested in Dragon Ball Z gaming content. Then when you make a video over Sparking Zero, well, guess what? There's like 100 Dragon Ball Z games. There's only so many people that are going to be interested in Sparking Zero. I know that sounds crazy. I actually haven't seen contents that are actually hating on the game lately.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot.
Can you imagine? Surely you're with me on this. Yeah, I think you are. There's no world where I'm walking away, even if Sparking Zero would have came out and probably not even been what it is, but we both have played it. We know it's good. There's no world where I'm walking away still going, yeah, no, Xenoverse 2 was the better game.
I mean, not like right away. It would take me a while. Like,
I still
don't. My blind favoritism would be for a long time.
No shot. I
enjoy it.
Never mind. I won't do that here.
Oh my God. He was going to shit talk Xenoverse. He was going to shit talk
Xenoverse. I like Xenoverse 2 for what it is. But you know something I'm not the biggest fan of?
I was going to say, Nana, before, like, I know you're going to cut back into the episode, and I appreciate that, because I could see that dislike bar growing, and they hide the dislike bars. So what are you not a fan of, Nana?
I can't remember what the name of this episode is, because the DVD got it wrong!
They actually, there was a production
malfunction. There was a production malfunction. I can't, is Luke Below? Look out below.
Don't, look out below, yes.
Look out below. We did watch 2 episodes today that we're talking about. Dotto, let's go.
All right. Well, look out below. I'll do the Nanogenics intro, since this was the first time.
Yeah, I'm not looking at it. So yeah,
it's the first time you handed me over, but I'll go ahead and say it anyway. This episode first aired in Japan on March 21st, 1990, and the American air date was August 23rd, 2005.
Wait, 2005? I know for a fact I watched that before.
Yeah, then. Yeah. You probably might think that, because this is actually just going off the what was Funimation dub, and then they got the rights from the Ocean Dub people, so.
And so they just continued and picked up where Ocean Dub left off. Instead of redoing it, they decided to redo it after they were done.
They redid it after they continued on.
Actually, they technically released this after GT. They
dubbed GT. No, they dubbed it way later on, which honestly, you can't really
GT tell. Finished airing in the beginning of 05.
What?
GT finished airing at the beginning of 05.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Because Z ended airing sometime in 04.
One thing I'm noticing about this episode, Nano, is as I scrolled down to remind myself what happened, because I'm not even joking, I think I might have micro fell asleep for a few seconds during these couple episode runs. We did 2 episodes today. They are both...
What? What'd you say?
We did two episodes today?
Sorry, you still I fell with asleep.
Me? Yeah.
No. We started talking about the episodes.
That's actually what happened to me, though. Like, real talk. 2 episodes today, both... in the dreaded, what we thought was, I thought was fake at least, fake Namek saga.
It's real. It's real.
And it is bad. It is worse.
It's worse.
It's way, way worse than I was prepared for.
I think here's why I think we're both not enjoying it for this reason. They won't tell us what's going on. But it's not a good suspense, because we know it's all fake. Why are we gathering Dragon Balls that don't actually exist? What is the gimmick?
I have no idea. That's true. The main complaint is we don't know the gimmick, and they're slow drip feeding information, but it's not even important information.
No sense.
Because let's cut back. Cause I actually, maybe this was the part I fell asleep on, because it says, one, they're landing on this, They're landing on fake Namek. Plane crashes. They wake up. Three dead coffins. They're all dead. But Bulma wakes up and sees two pink aliens. I did not see this scene. It shows the two. The wiki even describes it. Fake Namekians. And they show them in pink. They're just pink aliens.
When the hell did it show that?
At the beginning of the episode. And I must have fallen asleep. So it literally...
No. That's not real.
It literally confirms. Here, right here. It literally confirms that these guys are just 100% fake Namekians. I'm showing Nano a picture now. Right over their body. Just two pink, ugly creatures here.
No, that did not happen.
It did. It really did. He's opening up the episode again. He doesn't believe it, folks. We're going back into the episodes for a recheck.
That did not happen.
It 100% did, and we both just didn't see it.
No, dude, no. I did not miss that.
It 100% did happen.
I did not miss that, dude.
I'm being 100% honest. It had to. The wiki's never lied.
Has it not?
Not once has this wiki lied to us.
But, I mean, I guess that would give me the context that I'm looking for.
But not really, right?
But also still, what, like, is it all, because here's what's throwing me off, is the fact that her dragon radar is working and she's actually finding Dragon Balls.
Yes.
That's what's really...
Well, let me disagree with you here, Nano. Showing them as fakes, like guaranteed fakes, even though they've hinted at it, is even worse because now we literally know, all that we know is that these are fake. So now we're literally watching two episodes where they're pretending we don't know they're fake. Watch. We're watching the scene again right now, live. We are live reacting to this again.
I want to see how we miss this.
Silence on set as we see if it is confirmed that...
No!
What?
Ha!
Wow. Wait, what?
What did Funimation do?
Let's see.
What did Funimation do? I told you. We did not ever see that scene.
Wait, what?
I knew it. I freaking knew it. Yep.
It's not even in the trivia.
Dude, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it.
Wait, what if this is in a future episode and they just put it in here? What if the wiki spoiled us for real?
Oh, dude, mate, that might be the case because there's just... I would have noticed that. That's something like so what happened is we may have gotten dinner here in the Santa Monica studio
and we took a quick break.
And after I eat dinner, sometimes I do get a little sleepy, and I got a little bit sleepy in last week's episode, not this week. I was fully tapped in on these because I'm itching for these to get good. I really am. I want to like Namek Saga.
Come on, man. Please don't lump Namek Saga in with fake Namek Saga.
I want to love Namek Saga, man.
No, but this is fake Namek Saga. We're not in Namek Saga.
I want to love Namek.
This is fake Namek Saga. This doesn't count yet. So this is absolutely the worst arc of all time so far. Is this worse than Dueling Piccolos? I really want to say
it's not worse than Dueling Piccolos.
Is it
because of the context, though?
I just really hate that it's going so slow.
Yeah. So we both, again, in our reactions, which you can watch key moments at patreon.com/key moments, we genuinely both called this out being probably a two episode arc. Because what we thought we'd notice is that when they decide to make filler last more than one episode, they do two episodes. We are now two episodes in on this arc and it is not done.
No sign of slowing down.
Sorry, I'm going to blend the two episodes a little bit here because by the end of the second episode of this arc, they only have five of the seven Dragon Balls. So we know there's at least one more episode in Fake Namek.
And we get three in episode one, by the way.
And I told Dotto, what are the chances that this is like a five episode? Because there's a mention. No. We saw Frieza in one of the titles of the chapters. It's just part of using the DVDs to play this. Yeah, I was making sure we didn't miss a sequence. This is truly them waking up.
This must be a scene. The wiki must be like assuming that as wiki readers, we know that this is what they look like later. So that they put it in now to introduce them as what their true forms are. So the wiki genuinely spoiled me here today. Even though we knew this is what they look like because we see them walking past, what are they called? The carvings on the walls, hieroglyphic. We see them walking past hieroglyphics depicting these guys that are clearly not Namekians. In fact, our characters comment like, these are some weird looking Namekians.
Yes.
And the guy says, not every Namekian looks the same. So he comments on it and, not one.
You think they're in a dream state? You think it's what it is?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
You think it's a dream state? Because this planet being huge, which, having all these different...
Yeah, which we know is like the most, the best kind of story arc. It is always satisfactory. It always makes us feel very good.
So do you think by the time the arc is done, we're going to be like, all right, you know what? We were too harsh.
No. No, I think this is going to suck ass.
At the end of the day, fuck fake news.
I think this is going to suck ass all the way through. And then it's going to end and I'm going to be grateful that it's over and I'm never going to want to see it again.
Yeah, so...
My score is getting lower as we talk about it. I'm just getting more and more pissed, bro. I hate...
So this what can we say about this episode? They collect three Dragon Balls?
Episode one. So this is... I forgot the name. Look out below. They collect three Dragon Balls. Dragon Ball number one, I think, is just...
I forgot they smoke a cigar.
Oh, that is true. We know they're not real Namekians because these motherfuckers lighten up in the room. This guy built like a cigar, smokes one too, and he smokes it. He like blows it out like crazy. So one of the Dragon Balls we find is, I think, just in a field. The other one is just in a skeleton's mouth, which is supposed to look like a Namekian, but maybe is not. Now that we know what we know, it could just be...
They might be Namekian. What if they are Namekians that were sent to this planet to flee Dying Namek? And these creatures kill them.
Predators. They're predators in all... these guys act like predators too in the other way. I'm not going to describe that. And then the third ball we find is it's eaten by a T-Rex who later goes on to trip and fall into an acid pool.
Literally 3 seconds after.
Like not even 5 seconds. He's drenched in
that
acid.
That part was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was.
Because Gohan goes down into the acid in a suit.
Could this be foreshadowing to the fact that this is in fact a dream state? As they say, we only have one suit that can withstand the acid and only for 20 seconds. Gohan says he'll do it. And it is literally a Gohan size suit. Perfect fit.
Yeah.
No other person could even wear this. So either it's stretchy Saiyan technology or foreshadowing to the fact that it's a dream state.
So what is the wiki list as major events in this?
Bulma, Gohan, and Krillin search for the Dragon Balls on fake Namek.
What are the differences between the manga? Because Vegeta is shown in the rehabilitation. From the manga?
Oh, okay. Let's see. There's actually quite a few here.
Oh, okay.
The entire events of this episode were exclusive to the anime. I lied. It's just a filler episode. And here's the trivia, which we already discussed a little bit, but I'll just roll into it since we've already discussed it, which is, despite this episode being listed as Look Out Below on the Funimation Dubs uncut version of Dragon Ball Z in the remastered DVD box sets, its title card was shown with the name Friends or Foes.
It tripped me the hell out, by the way.
Which is what we saw as the title.
Yeah, because that's also episode 39's title.
It is.
Which we had already watched, and then I started thinking I totally messed us all up. Like, Dono even calls it out in the reaction. Like my face looked like I really fucked something
up. Yeah, Nano looked like he actually just ruined it. They later go on to correct that. But here, we have a flawed product. I think we get a refund for that.
Man. I just opened this box set, too.
Yeah, and you've had this for what?
Like 15 to 16 years.
15
like
years, and now it's being watched for the first time. Well, that was... I mean, that's literally the end of the episode.
Yeah. I'm ready to rate.
I am too. You want to count down? Let's just do it.
You just said my score.
Did I?
Yeah.
What'd I say?
You said, I am two.
Oh, you're giving it a two? Isn't that tied with Dueling Piccolos? Actually, no. I'm going to give it a two as well. Because I was going to say three. Nah, I'm saying two. I actually hated this.
Nah. I give it a three.
I'm giving it a two.
Three.
I'm not changing. This shit was garbage.
I give it a three.
This shit was genuine garbage, and I hated every second of it. But that was Look Out Below. Who's ready for the next episode, gang?
Let's go.
Because you know we did too. You know we did too. The search continues. With a title like that, you already know it's going to be more of the same shit.
Hell yeah.
Shit, dude.
And it doesn't finish.
No, we do not get all seven Dragon Balls in this. I think we get two more.
It does not finish.
The search continues. This came out April 4th. 1990 in Japan and August 24th, 2005. That seems late. It's because it is. It's what we said before. Okay. Search continues. In this, it's just more of the exact same stuff. We're walking around with Namekians we know are fake in a world we
still
know is
won't
fake.
Tell us. They gave us at towards the end
a little action.
Donald didn't notice this, but they fought an ogre that didn't look like rock, but as they were hitting him, he was turning into rock. And then after that, a snake slithers over what is dirt, and it looks like it's in the shape of the ogre. And then Krillin looks at the castle they were just in, and it looked different.
So we're starting like to see that illusions. The world. Yeah, it's not making sense. This episode was a tiny, tiny bit better because the environments were cooler. The gigantic birds are cool. There's some gigantic birds that do look pretty sick, and they have like a, I mean, they don't really do anything cool, but it is what it is. Krillin lands a Destructo Disc in this episode.
Yeah.
So on a stone giant. He lands it. It doesn't cut him in half, but it
one
cuts
of one
him like
for the
half
entirety
in half.
Of Z.
Yeah, so far, he's
that's the only Destructo Disc that's landed so far.
He's 1-for-2 so far in the series, right?
Oh, I meant for like actually
yeah,
landing.
Yeah, of hitting, yes. He's got but one he's confirmed hit.
Two, right? Yeah, two. He's the one.
So he hits 50% of his Destructo Disc right now, I think. Gohan launches a few Misenkos, one to bounce himself up and one at the giant. So that was pretty cool. And the giant also has a bunch of like toys in his room, stuff like that. And they use a plane to escape. I wish we could go into more detail, or maybe like something in the episode would be interesting. Maybe spark a story to come out, some podcasting good times. But this shit was genuinely boring, my guy. It was
not
a lot.
I don't know. It's weird. A part of me wants to enjoy it, but again, it's killing it for me. We know it's all fake. I just don't. Why are we collecting Dragon Balls and they won't let I hope the twist is good, but I don't think it's gonna be.
I don't think it's gonna be either. The only other thing, the only other thing that happens in this episode is Goku escapes the hospital. And he tries like
he goes to the old he goes to the wasteland and, where he fought Vegeta.
Yeah, and he's like trying to do some training, get the old feeling back, but he just can't. It's he's too hurt. And as far as major events, let's see if it reflects it. Bulma, Gohan, and Krillin continue their search for Dragon Balls. Goku sneaks out of hospital and returns to the wasteland.
Vegeta's out of the chamber. Vegeta is fully rejuvenated.
That is true. That is true. Vegeta does get out of the chamber. He is finally healthy ready to go on. He does not get his tail back, but he is fine with that. Even though, as we discussed in our power scaling episode, that is not...
That's a nerf.
That is a huge nerf. That is a huge nerf.
Imagine what Great Ape Vegeta's doing in Super right now, you know?
Exactly. Like, that tail needs
Vegeta
to stay
could just
on.
Go Great Ape, and then he could have won the TOP by himself.
And would you say the Vegeta scene was your favorite?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's because in the differences from the manga, with the exception of the scene where Vegeta leaves the medicinal machine, the entire events of this episode works with the anime. So that was the only one... factoid
hell yeah,
from
Vegeta.
The manga. So great.
My prince. He saved the episode.
Great episode. Yeah, that was literally it.
What's
guys.
Trivia?
There is no trivia.
No, really? Even the wiki said fuck this episode.
Nothing. They were like, yeah, I'm out.
All right. Well then on principle, because Vegeta got out of the chamber. I'm ready though. I'm ready. But on principle, I know what I'm giving it.
I am intensely worried about what you're about to say right now. In fact, I am going to be disgusted if anything. Well, actually, let me calm down because I know what I'm going to give it and maybe I'll be wrong. What was that?
What was that? What was that?
Was that your score or were you just holding up a hand? All right, let's do on three for this one. On go. 3, 2, 1, go.
Four.
Three. Okay.
I teased him through up a five.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought it was going to be five. I was going to be sick to my fucking stomach.
Your hater energy is definitely infecting me right now, but because I did.
I'm hating because it was awful, dude. It was terrible. They were right, bro. Fake Namek sucks. I want to leave so bad.
Yeah.
I want out.
I'm looking forward to like an actual Namek episode. I have to imagine the first episode where we're actually on real Namek is going to hit.
I want these aliens to die.
It's going to hit, right?
I want these aliens to die.
I think you're gonna kill him.
I want Krillin to land another Destructo Disc. I want a 66% hit rate.
I'm so ready for some like on Namek action. That's what I need it. Like Saiyan Saga wrapped up at this point 7 episodes ago. Right?
Has it been that long already?
What does it say at the top? It says this is the what episode of the Namek Saga?
This at the very top?
Yep. It should tell you when it's telling you the dates and it's saying like it's the total episode. It's the blank episode of the Namek Saga. I think it's the
seventh episode of the Namek Saga. You're right.
7 episodes past the wrap up of like,
yeah, no,
what's happened, Dotto?
You're right. Absolutely.
What
nothing.
Has happened? This is your favorite saga, by the way, because again, this is different from the Ghibli saga.
No, this is the fake Namek Saga. This is the Namek Saga.
This is included in it.
No, this is fake Namek Saga.
Nah, bro, your ass is cooked. Personally,
I just can't count this right now. So look, Namek gang, it's looking pretty bad. I'm not gonna lie to you, but
this was rough.
We're gonna lock in. Once we get to real Namek, it is gonna get real intense. It's gonna get real good. The animation's gonna be insane. It's going to be all great. I'm sure even the podcast
Dotto was really pointing out how bad the animation was.
It was bad. There was a moment where, even though the birds were cool conceptually, I swear to God, there was a moment where they drew the bird like this, and then it was like this. They just rotated it back and forth, which, fair play, save time. You know, I'm glad. I'm actually happy that they saved a little time with it, but not my Goat Dynamic Saga. They would never do that. I'm just saying.
Well, I guess we're going to find out. Next week? Maybe? No. You think he's going past that?
No, next week is going to suck for us. I'm just being honest. Hopefully we'll have some topics next week. Like the episode will spur us into conversation. Sometimes we get a miss, though. And these were some... And we're watching two episodes. Imagine if we were doing one.
You know what doesn't miss? Our theme.
This theme does hit. Every time.
This theme hits. You know what else? You guys should hit that subscribe button if you're on YouTube. You should leave us a rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And we'll see you next week.
I'll see you next week.